We began to open the New Testament book of James last week for study, and we saw that really immediately in the purposes God gave James for writing, that he went to the subject of trusting through and persevering through trials with this stated encouragement that the process of that yields increasing strength and maturity. We also heard him at the beginning there bring in the matter of asking God for wisdom. So the trusting through trials, persevering through trials, immediately we heard him bring in the matter of asking God for wisdom. I remember encouragement back when we were studying Proverbs, I think it's about a year and a half ago or so, taking up the subject of wisdom week after week after week, again and again and again, and hearing Solomon lift up its value. This thing, wisdom, so wonderfully valuable. I remember being encouraged by that. Blessed are those who find wisdom, who gain understanding, Solomon said. Wisdom's ways, they're pleasant ways, paths of peace, a tree of life, wholesome ways, ways of justice, of stability, of protection. Get wisdom, Solomon said. If it costs all you have, get understanding, he said. When we read James' words, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God. I wonder if we receive that from his letter as though it's the bringing up of an entirely separate subject. Well, he talked about trials for a while, now he's going to talk about wisdom. Or perhaps do we see the connection between the two? Because I think as we read those opening verses, they are connected. He seems to be bringing up the subject of asking God for wisdom in conjunction with the theme that he started with. Count it all joy when you face trials of many kinds. The testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Now, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God. Do you see the connection? There's a word bridge. There's a word bridge between those last two sentences, and they are connected. And I think that's helpful for our understanding. So it seems as though he's bringing up the matter of asking God for wisdom in conjunction with this facing of trials and in conjunction with the process of growing into maturity. Let's read it again. Just verses 2 through 8 for this morning. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he'll receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. Let me review just ever so briefly what we talked about last time. I think James is attempting to encourage us by saying that we can be heartened in the face of trials. In fact, we can adopt a mindset toward the whole of the experience that has joy in it, because when we are asked to endure the difficulties that faith must bear. Faith exercised gets stronger. And we can, in fact, grow in endurance, grow in depth and quality of character through that process. And it is, in fact, directed by God to that purpose for our sakes. A good translation of verse 4, I should have said this last week, a good translation of verse 4 could be rendered like this. And perseverance, let it have its completed work. Let it have its completed work. Engage this thing. It has a known purpose and result. You may enter into even these difficulties with a pervasive foundation of joy because it has this purpose. And I think that's what we were getting at last week. It's just at that point, that he brings in this matter of wisdom. You know, we're growing, becoming mature, becoming complete, not lacking anything. If anyone lacks, I think he's in a sense saying this wisdom we're talking about, this maturity we're talking about. If anyone lacks that, ask God. We've quoted Solomon this morning. I'll quote him again. My son, this is chapter 3 in Proverbs, verse 11. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke. Because the Lord disciplines those he loves. As a father, the son he delights in. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding. For she's more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her, he says. Here's what I want you to notice about that. The putting back to back of the same two things put back to back in James. In Proverbs there, it was the discipline of the Lord, his rebuke even, and how blessed it is to gain wisdom. Those are connected processes. I think they're connected as well in James. You see it also in the New Testament book of Hebrews. Listen, in your struggle against sin, you've not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. This is Hebrews 12, 4 and following. You've not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood, and you've forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves and punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. And then he goes on a little bit further later in verse 11. It produces, in other words, this whole process that we're talking about, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who are trained by it. It's the same subject, the training subject, producing a harvest of righteousness and peace. I think it's probably important to think as well that we always are in a position to need refinement from sinfulness. Hebrews brought it up. Proverbs brought it up. As James mentions it, I don't think it's out of the picture there either, the refinement and this process. Let's get back to the passage itself from James chapter 1. So if under the circumstance of trouble or trial or hardship of some kind, if you're asking for wisdom, what is it exactly that we're asking for? And I wonder if the very first thing that comes to my mind isn't the full picture. Okay? If any of you lacks wisdom, you know, in these hardships, let them ask God. Okay. You know what the first thing that comes to my mind is? I just want the know-how to solve this. You know, ask for wisdom. Yeah, if he would just give me the savvy, the know-how, the how can I manage these circumstances and fix it? That's the first thing that comes to mind, but I wonder if that's not a full enough picture of what's being asked for here. If anyone lacks wisdom, I think perhaps here the concept is that the fullness of that maturity that's being talked about. And so we're going to talk a little bit more about that. So it's not just know-how, not just savvy. I think it's more. It's not unrelated to that. It's not unrelated to know-how to make good decisions and all that kind of thing. But I think it has everything to do with our knowledge of God, our trust of God, our obedience of God, our heart for Him and our love for His ways in James. As he brings up wisdom as a topic there. And that is the scripture's uniform treatment of the subject of wisdom. Wisdom throughout the scriptures is not just know-how. And, of course, you hear that echoing again and again through Proverbs. Proverbs 2, verse 3. If you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you'll understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. That's what wisdom is. So it's not just, let's just say, not just savvy, not just cleverness, not just know-how. It has everything to do with the knowledge of the Lord. Verse 12 in Proverbs 2 says, wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men. Verse 20 in that chapter says, thus you'll walk in the ways of good men and keep to the paths of righteousness, or to the paths of the righteous. Remember chapter 1, that's the famous part in Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Chapter 3 in Proverbs says, trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. So that's a lot of passages, but it's really uniform across the scripture. The concept of wisdom runs deep, and it runs to the knowledge of God, and it runs to knowing and discerning what is His will. And it runs to trusting Him and all of those things, that wisdom. There are four things given in this passage to encourage us with regard to asking God for it. Four things that say you can be encouraged. Go ahead and ask. Go ahead and ask. Those four are that God is generous. He is generous in... knock my sermon off the thing. He is generous in the matter. Number two, God's giving of this commodity, wisdom, is not restricted to a certain class or group. Number three, He does so without finding fault. I'm going to talk about that a little more. And number four, it is His stated intent, especially in James, the way it comes across. You should ask and it will be given. You should ask and it will be given. In James there. To talk at the beginning of God being generous, you know, if wisdom were a certain kind of elite expertise, we might think of God to be only inclined to give it out to a few. But the very nature of wisdom, since it centers in the knowledge of Him, since it centers in such things as humility and purity and good fruit and embracing His will and His ways, this is a commodity that God is most generous to give. We don't have to think of Him as reluctant to give us the knowledge of Him or the love for Him. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Matthew 5:6. I think it's not unlike that encouragement given in the Gospel of Luke when it says this. I say to you, Luke 11:9, I say to you, ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? If he asks for an egg, will you give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? When we ask for wisdom, what are we asking for? We're asking for the very thing he would give us in the Holy Spirit. Not just, can I have a little more expertise than the next guy? We're asking for things that pertain to a right heart and to understanding and spiritual understanding. That wisdom he's willing to give. And so you've got the, I guess it's the fourth one, but you've got the stated purpose. Ask, for it will be given. It's just like the Luke passage. Seek and you will find. Ask for wisdom. Understanding what wisdom we're asking for, I think, encourages us in that. I think it's encouraging that he says he will give it to all. It's not for a separated higher class of pious Christians or something. You know, it's not for an elite group. This wisdom is the fundamental kind of thing that we're talking about. We may ask, and I think, well, that's only for them, you know, because they're a lot better at this mastery of knowledge than I. That's an encouragement there. And then the words without finding fault. He will give wisdom without finding fault. It's almost like, I don't know how to word it, but I was thinking of this. We don't have to think of him hearing our request and saying, well, not for the likes of you. You know, finding fault that way and saying, I have a good gift, but I mean, not for the likes of you. It's not the nature of the thing, and it's not the nature of his will in this thing. This is what we need. He is so very willing to give it. I've already mentioned number four, which is his stated intent. If you are asked, what is God's disposition toward the giving of wisdom? Willing or unwilling? There's only one right answer to that. According to these words, and I mean according to these words, he has stated his willingness. Ask and it will be given. This we must embrace. If you're anything like me, you have probably at one time or another cringed at the warning about doubt when you read it. Right? You shouldn't expect to receive anything. You know, can my not doubt factor reach the mark? Whatever. I think, though, that some of this whole context has encouraged me, and I hope is encouraging for you as well. What is this doubting that's being referred to? And let me say, I do not think that the idea being conveyed is limited to the simple degree of height of your expectancy that you'll get it. If we reduce the whole idea of what's being conveyed there, if you don't expect to get it enough, I just don't think it's limited to that. I mean, trust involves that expectation. I don't mean that, but I think the concept here is deeper and bigger than that. Because words like double-minded, unstable, blown about by every wind, they don't seem like the kind of words the scripture uses in general to describe someone who's just wondering, will it come or won't it come? In that, it seems like there's more going on there. And so I think it would have to run as deep as to address the person's belief in, trust in, love for God himself, and whether that person wants the kind of things that wisdom would imply. namely obedience, namely patience, namely correction, perhaps. Refinement, the refinement that's involved in here. The believing in God, the trusting Him about all of those things, to believe and not doubt, not just here and there and back and forth. It seems to run a little deeper than that. We can work with that in conversation after the message, but I just, to think of it as only related, if that were the case, only related to the matter. Did you expect it enough? Did you expect it enough? I don't know that it addresses exactly what's going on there. We are called upon to expect Him to keep His promise about that, but I think perhaps there's another issue in there. So my prayer for my own soul and for you all is that the experience of testing, being that experience of the trying of faith itself, burdens that faith must bear, that in that process, if you feel you come up lacking, you know, lacking that maturity that we're all looking for here, I hope that this is encouragement that God is willing to give in this matter. In accord with the deep running definition of wisdom, which we've been speaking, let's pray. Lord, grant us wisdom. Grant that we may know You and know Your way and the value of Your way. And that we might trust You so as to count You faithful for this moment and for the next moment. Teach us to believe in Jesus' name. Amen.